Hello, and welcome to another installment of Podcast 360. I'm your moderator, Melinda Stevens, with Gastroenterology Consultants. With us today is Dr. Christina Ha, who is a clinical assistant professor in the Division of Gastroenterology at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, California. She is with us today to discuss the management of inflammatory bowel disease in the elderly, a subject she will further discuss during her session at the Advances in Inflammatory Bowel Diseases annual meeting in December. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Ha. Comorbidities and a polypharmacy make management of IBD in this patient population more challenging compared with younger adults. How can gastroenterologists approach these and other challenges?
That's a great question. And the key is really multidisciplinary care. So in addition to focusing on the Crohn's disease or the ulcerative colitis, we also have to make sure that we optimize a condition simultaneously and consider things such as correcting anemias assertively with IV iron, evaluating for nutritional deficiencies and replete them, as well as optimizing functional status, utilizing other resources that we have available, such as physical therapy assessments. We also have to carefully review medication lists and look for prescribing cascades, which is when you prescribe another medication to handle what's actually an adverse event from a different medication, and really focus on eliminating other unnecessary agents, including over-the-counter agents, and be cognizant of medication interactions. In fact, my colleagues and I, when I was at Hopkins, actually did a study looking at polypharmacy, and on average, our older IBD patients were taking 9 to 10 routine medications, and more than 40% of them had at least one interaction with their IBD medications, and 30% were major interactions, which can impact their symptomatology and be misleading, thinking that their symptoms are related to inflammatory bowel disease when it's really due to a medication interaction or adverse effect of a medication. It's also important to inform all the members of the care team of the plan, including potential adverse effects of treatment, medications to avoid, and also provide some instruction to primary care providers on drug monitoring and really emphasizing healthcare maintenance. These are important across all age groups, but really for the older patients.
What do you think gastroenterologists should consider when selecting the most appropriate disease management strategy for these patients?
So the first thing I would say is don't discriminate simply based on numeric age, because functional status, comorbidities, and truly evaluating not only the risks and benefits and alternatives of the treatment itself, but the risks and benefits of under-treatment of IBD. In our same study of older IBD patients, we found that 70% of older Crohn's disease patients with moderate to severe disease activity were maintained on 5-aminosalicylates, which aren't even recommended for Crohn's disease, let alone moderate to severe disease, or they were maintained on steroids, which is not a maintenance medication. And it's also an inappropriate medication to be given to older patients, according to the Beers criteria in geriatrics. Similarly, we found that the majority, almost 80% of our older ulcerative colitis patients with moderate to severe disease were maintained on aminosalicylates and steroids, which is inappropriate for that disease severity, but also inappropriate based on their age. So we have to consider the appropriate treatment and not under-treat our patients simply because of fear related to their age. We also have to consider the likelihood they're going to respond to the treatment that is recommended, their access to medications. A lot of the older patients are Medicare age, and they have Medicare Part D. So we have to consider the cost of oral therapies, topical therapies, even some injectables for these people who may have limited income, limited access to infusion centers, or limited support to bring them to and from office visits, and especially for the medication regimens are complex. The other thing is we have to not wait until these older patients are very sick to consider the appropriate steroid-sparing therapies. Just like with younger people, this discussion should be at the first sign of moderate to severe disease. And the final recommendation I would make, and we see this a lot in a lot of the older patients that we treat, is that you don't want to keep patients on medications that aren't working indefinitely. You should definitely have a finite time frame where you expect to see a marked response. And if that isn't achieved, you have to reevaluate for other options or consider optimization. So those are some of the key points that I would recommend when you're treating somebody who's older.
It is understood that the elderly population with IBD is poorly represented in clinical trials. Do you think this will ever change? And what is the gastroenterologist's role in this?
And this is tricky because we certainly need more evidence-based data to support medication selection for older patients who have moderate to severe disease. And it is tough to recruit them for randomized controlled trials of study drugs because of inherent confounding variables that may influence study findings like comorbidities and polypharmacies. However, many older patients are highly motivated, they're very functional, and have minimal comorbidities and would definitely be appropriate for clinical trials. And if you review the literature and the data, oftentimes the ceiling age for enrollment is 75 years for trials. And as gastroenterologists, we have to consider the availability of clinical trials, the access to currently available agents that may be equally appropriate for that level of disease activity, and the appropriateness of trial participation based on their clinical status or lack of response to other agents, because it is a commitment. So factoring in the social factors, can they go back and forth for multiple study visits? Are they able to have the multiple scopes that are needed? And also, older persons can decline more rapidly once they have increased disease activity. So that may actually impact their candidacy for trials if they cannot make it through a placebo period before they would, for example, get an open label drug. So absolutely, we need to consider the right patient to potentially be enrolled in clinical trials, but we have to factor in access, frailty, functional status, and ability to tolerate a placebo period before we offer enrollment.
What is the key takeaway for gastroenterologists to know about the management of IBD in the elderly?
It's really the same fundamentals that we would use to treat younger patients, but perhaps even more emphasized with the older IBD patients. And that's really about being proactive in our management of their IBD. It means that we're probably going to need closer monitoring. They may need more frequent office visits to assess response, to watch for adverse effects of therapy, and to really assess for improvement. And we really want to emphasize the prevention of complications associated with IBD. They do require special attention because of these factors that aren't as prevalent among younger patients, like comorbidity, polypharmacy, and functional status. We need prompt recognition of disease activity and really start appropriate treatments. We cannot leave them on chronic steroids. Their nutritional status needs to be optimized. Their anemias need to be corrected. We need to really focus on vaccinations. Independent of any kind of immunosuppression, older age does increase your risk for infections. So influenza vaccinations, pneumonia vaccinations, zoster vaccinations with the new zoster vaccine, the Shingrix series that's out there. And not forgetting about extraluminal factors, such as physical conditioning, which is very important, not only for medication safety, but also potential surgical safety if they need it. And we have to also recognize financial barriers that have to be included in the discussion of treatment options, because a lot of these patients are on a very limited income. But when it comes down to it, as long as we're treating them with the right agent at the right time, with the right time frame to expect a response, with close monitoring for response and safety, we can actually do very well in our treatment of older patients, as long as we just look at the big picture and not just the gut.
Thank you again for joining us today, Dr. Ha.